doesn't really matter what people say about you. It doesn't really matter that much about what you say about yourself. What matters is what God says about you. You are loved. You are valued. He valued you so much and continues to value you. Regardless of who you are, God is not into status. He's not into how much money you have or how much money you don't have. It doesn't impress God. Your heart is what impresses God. Having a heart for Him, having a heart for His Word, having a heart for the truth. I want to talk to you about the season of life that you're in. There is not a more important season in your life than the season that you're in right now. The season that you're in right now is the most important season of your life. The devil would like to tell you, oh, you messed up in those other seasons. Let me tell you something. He is a genius at accusing you of things that you can't do anything about. You can't do nothing about your past. But you can do something about what you're doing right now. You can do something about what's going to happen in your future. Your most important day is today. It's not tomorrow and it wasn't yesterday. Your value and who you are has nothing to do with who you were. It's about who you are. The season of your life. We're talking about seasoning your life and seasoning the season that you're in. You being the flavor of the world. I'm not talking about the flavor of the month. Baskin Robbins does all that, and it changes all the time. God never changes, and His Word never changes, but He expects us to change. He expects us to grow in Him, to mature in Him, and in the season of your life, to acknowledge Him in all of your ways so that He will direct your path. I want to talk to you. The title of my message this morning is The Flavor of Obedience. The flavor of obedience. This is what pleases God. Time doesn't permit me this morning to go into detail about how much God values your obedience to Him. Many times the reason that we don't obey God is because we don't agree with God. God's not up there waiting for you to agree with Him. He's not waiting for you to develop a new truth in this world because He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And when we value the way, we value the truth, and we value the life, then we will walk in the light as He sheds that light in our path. And then we become the salt and the flavor of the world. Then the world looks at us and they go, there's something different about that man. There's something different about that woman. I don't really know what it is. I don't know how they got there, but I like them. But people don't like these little mealy-mouthed, mild-mannered men that meekly meet and methodically minister. They don't like that. They're not like, they want mountain-moving men that masterfully mends the messed up minds of mankind, and our world is messed up. Somebody in this church, God's called us to rise up in the kingdom of God and be counted for who He is. You are God's representative. God has put more faith in you than you have put in yourself. When you realize who you are, it's not about what they say about you on Facebook. It's not about what your friends or maybe even your family says about you. You are the righteousness of Christ. And it's not because of what you have done. It's because of what He has done. And your heart is what God's looking at. God is looking at your heart. We look on the outside. God looks on the heart. I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 5. Last week we talked about the flavor where he said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the flavor that comes to the earth. And then we're going to back up here because this is what happened before Jesus said, you are the flavor of the earth. Before he said, you are the salt of the earth. What he said here, he said, I want you to get your attitudes right before you can have flavor. Because it's all about your attitude today. If you are going to have a good day, you're going to have a good attitude. You wake up in the morning, you got a bad attitude, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have a bad day. You have a good attitude, you're going to have a good day. Some days are better than others. But you know what? If God is in your day, it's a good day. So here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, the ones who have the power of God in them, but that power that they have is under God's control, not under their control. They have allowed God to have control of the power that he has given them. A lot of times God gives favor and he gives power to us, but we abuse that favor and we abuse that power. It happens all the time in the church. God has given you favor and he's given you power so you can be a good steward of that power. Meek, the word meek means power under control, not out of control. The meek shall inherit the earth. The earth will bless you if you keep that power of God in you under his control. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Staying in right standing with God. Those who hunger after being right standing, in right standing with God. Blessed are the righteous. Blessed are the hunger and thirst because they'll be filled with righteousness. If you hunger for righteousness, that's what you'll be filled with. And if you don't hunger for righteousness, you're going to be full of something else. Blessed are the merciful. Why? They shall be shown mercy. Yes. You want some mercy in your life? You better be giving it to people. Yes. You want mercy? You got to sow seeds of mercy. God was merciful to you when you didn't deserve it. Merciful to me when I didn't deserve it. So we are merciful. Anybody got anybody in your life you don't like? Raise your hand. It's okay. It's church. Confess. Be merciful to people because when you transgressed against God, God was merciful. He didn't give you what you deserved. Why would you give other people what you think they deserve? Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God for who he is. You be pure in your heart. Keep your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. I hear people say, oh, just follow your heart. My Bible says that your heart is exceedingly wicked. We can't be following our own heart. We better be following God's heart. I say follow God's heart. Stop following your own heart because it's jacked. You're glad you came to church today. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Are you a peacemaker or are you a peace taker? Do you take peace? The words you say, are they edifying to God and to the people that you're around? People will be like to be around you because you're a peacemaker. Or when you walk in the room, the dog runs because you're Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people will insult you and persecute you. Yeah, you're like, preacher, stop right now. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Blessed are you when you are insulted. See, that's why not everybody wants to go to church. That's why not everybody wants to follow Christ. It's like this doesn't go along with the grain of this world. What we're talking about here is not popular things, but I would say this. Any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live fish to go against the current of this world. And if you're going to be alive in Christ, you're going to have to go against the current of this world. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You're not by yourself if you're being persecuted for the cause of Christ. But rejoice, because there's a great reward for you in heaven. This goes against the grain of humanity. It goes against the grain of the flesh in our lives. It goes against everything that the world would say is the way they want it to be. But God says, this is where you will find me, in your attitude toward me. Then he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under feet. Followers of God are to be leaders of men. Followers of God are to be leaders of men and live at a higher level. You see, if there's no difference between you and the world you live in, why would the world want to be attracted to you and be attracted to God in you? If we're living the same way, if we talk the same way that the world talks, if we have the same attitude that the world has, if we go the same places that the world goes, what is the difference between the church and the world? God is trying to get something through to us, the church today, and say, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We, the church, must rise up, because I will just say this, that the world has filtered into our thinking. And we've accepted it. You see, between the seed of the follower of Christ planted in the early stages, when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the seed of the Word of God came in you, because that is God. Jesus is the seed of God. And the fruit of the believer that comes with maturity, every wise person goes through two major phases in life, the call and the preparation. You see, when you have been born again, the seed is planted in you. And that's God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He doesn't live in these buildings made by man's hand. He lives in you because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God lives in you. And when that seed comes in you, then that seed germinates and that seed grows when you feed the seed the Word of God. And the word that's in you will grow and mature in you. And sooner or later, you will begin to grow and mature, and you will begin to produce fruit. And as you walk around, people will look at you, and they, the ones that need some more joy, they will go, boop. Need some more peace in my life. They're going to pick a little peace off of you. Peace. Oh, I don't have no peace in my life. Grace, love. I don't love anybody. I don't love people. Boop. Because you have, who are they going to get the fruit of the Spirit from if the mature Christians don't produce fruit? And let me say this. Fruit happens. You grow, you feed at the Word of God, you spend time with God, and you love God, things about God will come on you, and it will just come out of you naturally. You become passionate. You can't stay quiet about what's happening inside of you because you understand you have fallen in love with the God that created you and loves you and gave his life for you. And you're like, I just can't be quiet about that. Boop, boop. The call and the preparation. See, a lot of people are called by God. Not everyone wants to prepare for the work of God. There's a scripture, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. I read that and I was like, it's kind of like that saying, if a tree falls in the forest, no one's around, does it make any noise? I don't care. I don't care. I'm not there. No big deal. Because I didn't understand it. Many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? It means that God is not willing, listen to this, that any should perish. God doesn't want you. He doesn't want your neighbors. He doesn't want your friends. He doesn't want your enemies to perish. So if he doesn't want them to perish, shouldn't that really be our attitude toward them? If God loves them, the ones that you don't like. If God loves them, should we love them? Oh, preacher. Many are called, few are chosen. Everybody's called. God loves everybody. God's not willing that any should perish, but it says few are chosen. Do you know who the chosen ones are? The chosen ones are the ones that show up and do the work of the Lord, that have that attitude that he has asked us to have, the ones who love him, the ones who have taken the seed and have taken care of it and grown it and matured in him and prepared their heart, their mind, their body, and their soul to do the work that God has called them to do. And they are there and they're passionate about God. They don't know, they don't have the Bible completely memorized, but they love Jesus and they love people like Jesus loves people. Those are the ones that are the chosen ones. Those are the ones who are going to go to heaven. Those are the ones that people like to be around because they got all that fruit on them. And none of us rotten. I'll go on. During the preparation season, we all get tested to live at a higher level than others around us. We all get tested. Everybody say, life is a test. And you are going through a test right now, are you not? If you're not going through a test right now, you will be tomorrow. Because life is made up of a series of tests, and the tests have come our way to help to make us strong, to mature us, to grow in Him. And when we pass the test, you see, when I was in first grade, I had to learn to do a few things that I couldn't do, that I had to do a certain amount of things so I could pass and go to the second grade. Then when I was in the second grade, I couldn't pass until I learned what I needed to learn in second grade. And you see, the world is made up of Christians who want to go from first grade to college. They don't want to embrace this preparation time. I loved what we said about school. We have classes for leadership school, classes for ministry school. And God maybe has called somebody here today into the full-time ministry. Bless you, but prepare for that ministry, because it's not for the weak. It's not for those who are not prepared. God has called you to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, y'all come on with me, rightly dividing, because there's the word of God, because there's a lot of people out there in the world that would like to redefine the word of God. They would like to speak their own truth, what is true for them. Well, for me, I think, who cares what the world thinks? It's all about what God thinks and what He says. God calling His people to live at a higher level than the rest of the world. His call brings many other tests along the way. In 1 Peter 3:15, I want to read this. It's in the Message Bible. The Message Bible is a Bible that breaks the words down. I like to even read it like in the Old Testament, when I kind of get confused about things, and it kind of clarifies for me the general story. Now, I will say this, that with the New King James and the NIV, there's words in there that help us to understand better. So the studying part needs to encompass that. But I want to read to you out of the Message Bible this morning, this passage, because it's kind of like it's a little lower level, so I can understand it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, talking about being ready to give and to speak what God's called us to do. It says, if with our heart and soul you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? Even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give opposition a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention. In other words, guard your heart. You pay attention to what's going on in your heart. Keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ your master. Be ready. Everybody say, be ready. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always, everybody say always, always with the utmost courtesy. Always with the utmost courtesy. The church needs to be courteous to the world. We need to love the people in the world, not the things of the world. And we have confused that, and we get this little attitude that we're holier than they are. We ain't going to hell, but you are. Get on Facebook and get mad because we're Republicans or we're Democrats. Y'all come on with me. I'm preaching to you now. I'm not preaching to people that didn't show up this morning. I'm preaching to y'all. We get this little attitude about, I'm right, you're wrong. But He says that we are to be courteous and love people like He loves them. That's right. And it says, keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. See, you go to arguing with other people. Proverbs says, don't argue with a fool because people listening won't know who the real fool is. That's what the Bible says. It says, when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good if that's what God wants than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did definitively. Suffered because of others' sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God. Now, let me tell you something. You start doing the right thing. You start living for God. And you begin to love people like God has called you to love people. It will convict the people that you are around. And they will be offended many times at your goodness. My dad had a stallion that he showed at halter. He was a quarter horse. That's when they're judged by their conformation. And so Dad showed this horse, and the American Quarter Horse Association sent him a certificate that this horse had the best record of any horse in the American Quarter Horse Association showing at halter. We won everything we went to. He was just such a great horse. Sold him, and he went to a guy in Australia, went on to be the national cutting horse of Australia. Well, Dad bought a paint stallion after he sold that horse, and he got in the paint horse people on the board for the directors there in Utah. Dad was pastoring a church there. And the people on the board there, they said, we got to do something about everybody talking ugly about other people's horses. Because people are just talking too much, and it's just tearing our association down. Dad spoke up. He said, you all know that I had a pretty good quarter horse, and one just about everywhere I went. And they all knew this horse. Sold him, went to Australia. He said, the whole time that I was showing him, people were always saying, they were always criticizing him, you know, his neck's too short, or he doesn't have enough withers on him, or he's a little short in his group, he doesn't have enough muscles there. But he said the whole time that people were criticizing him, he was winning grand champions all the time they were criticizing. And he said this, he said, I've got a mare at the house. She's a good mare. She produces really good colts. But he said, I've never heard anybody ever say anything bad about her. Not one time has anybody ever criticized that mare in my pasture. He said, you know why? She's never been out of the pasture. People start criticizing you. They're saying ugly things about you. Rejoice, because your reward is in heaven. It's not about what's going on right here, because there will always be people that criticize you. It might be your own family that criticizes you. Please don't allow the world and the enemy of our soul, the devil himself, to accuse us. Because God says you are a conqueror and that you can do all things through him, because he will give you the power, he'll give you the strength to overcome any test. As you learn that test, he will help you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. The most challenging test of all is the test of obedience to God and his word. It really is a challenge, isn't it? But with the call comes preparation, must prepare. And with the seed of leadership comes the test of leadership. And God will test us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. Along your way, God will test you. And I will just, you know what the old saying is that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And if the enemy can find a weak link in you, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, he'll try to break that link, and he will accuse you that you are not worth what God has invested in you. The devil's a liar. You are God's greatest treasure. Believe it. Please believe it. Many experiment to discover their strengths and their weaknesses. I liked the interview, you know, where you just, you try different things to figure out what you're good at. Too many times we're intimidated to try anything. Do something. Even if you mess it up, it's okay. We'll get through it. Do something. God wants us to be workers in his vineyard. But guard your heart and keep a good attitude, and everything will be all right. We must reach our potential. We must pass many tests. Ask yourself, do I measure up to living at a higher level? If so, grow at that level. If not, have a goal to learn and grow where you are. Ask yourself, what area of your life is keeping you from success when it comes to being who God has called you to be? If you need an attitude adjustment, give in to God's discipline so that you can walk in obedience to his word. Please don't try to redefine the truth of the word of God that fits your lifestyle. Well, I just can't do it. Yeah, you can. You don't think you can because you've been listening to the wrong God. It's not... Jesus challenges normal human perspectives. Normal human perspectives doesn't fit into God's plan. Spiritual poverty and success, sadness and mourning, meekness and gentleness, passion and hunger, mercy and compassion, purity and integrity, peacemaking versus revenge, persecution and adversity. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. This past week, a very close friend of mine ran his truck off the road into the ditch. Ben is actual. But the reason that he wound up in the ditch was because he was in his company truck and he was working hard and he was trying to return an email while he was driving. I can't tell you how many people I've done funerals for that were killed while they were texting. Can't tell you. I would dare say that everybody in this room knows somebody like that. The scripture says that Satan is the father of deception. And if the enemy can deceive you and distract you from what God has asked of you, then we get to the place where we accept the unacceptable. We believe the unbelievable. We live the way that God has not asked us to live, but we have become a part of the way the world has said we should live. I spent a good part of Friday afternoon texting back and forth with our Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick. He's been down there in El Paso, going to funerals of all these families of these victims that were shot in this mass killing. the grief, I believe, that grieves God is the lack of value for life. Your life, I'm talking about eternity, your life depends on your attitude toward God. We live in a country today that is extremely divisive. We live in a country today that wants to accuse other people for the venom that is in them. I don't care if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. God has not called you to be rude to anybody. We must love. See, this is filtered into the church. This stuff about, I ain't gonna put up with that. Listen, you'll never win anybody to the Lord by making them mad. And you, if you're going to speak up, you better speak up with honor, respect, and humility. I'm all for the church speaking up. But I am sick and tired of Christian people I was going to say something, cowboy, but I better not. Talking like Jack, you know what? Bunch of mules. They're unteachable. You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't be that way. God help us to have a good heart for people who are God's greatest treasure, because they're, listen, just because they're acting stupid doesn't mean we have to act stupid. Just because they're unloving doesn't mean we have to be unloving. There's got to be a difference between us and them. But you see, a lot of times when we read it on Facebook, there's no difference. When we hear Christian people talking, we're like, I thought you was a Christian. No love comes out of it. God is grieved today for the lack of respect for life. We disrespect the babies in the womb. And we kill them. I'll tell you what, our society, yeah, we're doing pretty good financially, but I'm going to tell you something. Our society is very, very evil. Because we may not do it, but we speak up for people that do it. And we support them. We need to support the truth. Love the sinner and hate the sin. It's hard. It's not easy. Because the sinner will attack you. When people talk about, well, it's time for our government to stop praying and start doing something. Let me tell you something. Prayer is the only thing that has kept America in the favor of God. The attitude. Guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Amen. So bless your name, Lord. We pray, oh God, that you would have your way in our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our souls. Oh God, I pray that you would convict us in areas where we have given in to the way of the world that we live in. Help us, Lord, to be the seasoning of our world where people will come to us because we are fruit producers. Lord, help us not to fall into the trap of deception. Help us not to fall into the trap of distraction. In Jesus' name. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Scripture says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. You see, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all need to be forgiven. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for Him, simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I need His peace. I need His love. I need His passion in my life because I know that I can't make it without Him." Yep. Leave your hand up. I want to put a Bible in it right here. Anybody else? Preacher, yep, back there. Leave your hand up, please, until we get a Bible in it. Anybody else? Thank you. Leave your hand up. Yep, thank you over there. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Anybody else? Preacher, this is the first step in knowing God, is accepting Him right here, guys. Yep, leave your hand up until we get a Bible in right here. Yep, thank you. If you got your Bible, you can put your hand down. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I don't have all the answers, but I know God does, and I want to put my faith in Him. I want to put my faith in Him from this day forward. This is the most important day of your life. I told you that, and I believe it with all my heart. Anybody else before we move on? This is your day. This is your day, the day that was created just for you. Anybody? Lift your hand up high. Leave your hand up high. Anybody else? Amen. If you raise your hand, would you look up at me? If you raise your hand, would you mind coming up? Let me pray with you. Come on up here. Over here. Where are we at? Yeah, thank you. Back there. Yeah, come on. Somebody else. Come on. If you raise your hand, come on. Please. I'm so proud of you. Bless you. Stay right here. I'm going to pray with you. Thank the Lord. It's a good day. I'll tell you. Yeah, there you go. Proud of you, Ann. So proud. Bless you. Bless you. Look here. It's a good day, buddy. It's your day. Anybody else? So what's different about this? What's different? This world will tell you that you got to pay something for anything that's valuable. Here's the truth. Jesus already paid the price. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not about how good you are, how good you've been. It's about who God is and how good He is. So He's made a way for you today. So what I want to do, I want to pray with you. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised Him from the dead, that we'll be saved. I can help you pray, but you have to believe in your heart. Can you do that? Okay, y'all help us pray. Just repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. I invite you into my heart. Invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Now look here. I'm going to tell you something. What happens from here on out, God's going to be with you. He lives with you. You say the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. But you got to participate. You're going to have the same problems you had before you came to church. But He's going to help you get through those problems if you'll ask Him. He's going to help you. But you have to ask Him. You have to want this. What you have now, you have to sincerely seek God and His plan and His purpose for your life. And that part's up to you. He'll teach you. It's up to you how much you want to follow Him now. Because He'll never make you do the right thing. He's not going to make you do the right thing. You have to choose life and choose to do the right thing. And He'll help you with it. When you mess up, you'll have two choices. You can run to God, or you can run from God. Run to Him. Always run to Him. That's That's what I think. If everybody in this crowd could say one thing to you, your choice to run to or from God is going to be your biggest battle. You're going to run to Him. You're going to run from Him. Okay? Run to Him. Amen. Go visit these guys for just a second. Thank you all so much. Bless you. Thank you so much. Bless you, brother. Proud of you. Stand with me, please. How many say, preacher? I've been convicted today about my attitude. Some things in my life, I've had a bad attitude. And I've had some compromise in my life because I've allowed distractions to come into my life. And it's really kept me from having peace. And it's kept me from producing fruit. From this day forward, I'm going to work at it. And I'm going to study God's word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to find out what my purpose in life is. And I'm going to work toward that. Raise your hand. Preacher, that's me. I'm going to do that. Hallelujah. I'm proud of y'all. Thank you. Raise your other hand. Let me pray for y'all. Lord, as we lift our hands up to you, oh God, we realize and recognize that you have a purpose for our life. I pray, oh God, that you would just minister peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, the fruit, oh God, that you have for us, oh God. Implant that seed in everyone that's got their hands up, Lord. Implant those seeds in us, oh God, that we would produce the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. And as we prepare ourselves and we prepare our bodies for this, for the ground that you've put that seed in, help us, Lord, to produce that fruit in your time. Lord, help us not to be robbed, but to be ready when people ask us why we love you and why we serve you. Help us, Lord, to give them your story of what you've done in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for every individual's personal testimony that they can share with others, Lord. Help us not to be intimidated, manipulated, or controlled by this world, but, Lord, to be molded and shaped by clay, by in your hands, oh God. Mold us and shape us after your plan and your will. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. God bless y'all. We love you so much. Got our prayer team up here if you need special prayer. Love to have you. God bless you.